to Making and Breaking Social Policy, a podcast about how we collectively respond to big social issues and what this means for social and community practice. My name is Ben Lohmeyer, and I'm a lecturer and researcher at social work in social work at Flinders University. The special guest for this week is Lexi. Lexi is a young person who was placed in out-of-home care at a young age, and she was fortunate enough to have a reasonably stable experience of care. And though now she's an adult, she still has a good relationship with her foster family. Lexi also works with CREATE Foundation. CREATE is a national consumer body representing the voices of children and young people in out-of-home care experiences. Lexi is passionate about extending the supports offered to young people in care beyond 18 years of age. CREATE is currently running a Make It 21 campaign, which is about enshrining in law the right of young people to have placement supported within the care system until 21 years of age. So from the CREATE website, we know that 35% of young people who leave care at 18 years of age experience homelessness, whilst young people in the general community continue living with their parents to an average age of 23 to 24. So if you want to support the Make It 21 campaign after listening to what Lexi has to say, you can head to create.org.au/Make It 21, and there you'll find information about signing a petition or also how you might like to write to your MP. So we recognise that Flinders Social Work operates on the traditional lands and waters of the Kaurna peoples, and we pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, acknowledge their sovereignty and continued responsibility to care for country. Lexi, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation today.
You're welcome.
Oh, it's so good to have you in here. I was hoping that you might be able to start us off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your time in out-of-home care.
So I was 11 when I went into care. My little sister was 5, so both of us went in at the same time. I went straight into emergency care, where I stayed with a family for a week, and then my little sister came out of hospital, and then we both went into resi care. I then was with her for about a month It was realised that it was really bad for me because I tend to parent her. I grew up doing that quite a lot, yeah. So I instantly went back into mother mode pretty much when I moved in with her into resi care. So thankfully, my emergency family became my foster family. Oh, wow. It was difficult being in resi because constantly looking after my sister. And then also we had carers and it rotates. So you have someone for the day, someone at night, and someone for the next day. Wow. So it's just constant, different changing people. You'd never know who you'd get. So you'd have a roster, but would change. And then just, you know, not really knowing other children and spending time with your adults all the time. You just, again, lose that childhood because you're just having that constant adult contact.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's full on. Yeah, there's a lot of change in that. That's a short space of time.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. I know some young people who've had it worse than me where they were 9 and have been to 21 different homes.
Wow.
So that was moving in and out of families and residential care and not from resi care to resi care even.
Right.
So, yeah. And then, yeah, when they turn 18, you hear different things. And thankfully, I now live independently and I find myself quite successful through that as well.
There you go. Okay. But your short-term emergency family became your longer-term foster
yes.
family?
Yep.
And you still have a relationship with those?
I have a fantastic relationship. I refer to them as mum and dad. I have from very early on into moving in, because I realised that that's what they were going to be. They were going to be my mum and dad, and they still are now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, that's really great. And you do some work at the moment with the CREATE Foundation.
Yes, I do.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
So CREATE is all about bringing young people together and making sure that they're not feeling alone. We quite often have events to bring these young people together as well. And these events could be things such as YAGs, which are youth advisory groups, which is we all get together and we'll have a topic and we'll just sit there and absolutely brainstorm out of everyone's brains for about an hour or more sometimes and just get everybody's views on this specific topic. There's always a different topic for every single YAG. We have sibling connection events. So sibling connection is something that's struggled through without the system. Mm. So to get siblings together is really, really great. And that one, there's always a wait list for that one because there's too many siblings trying to see each other.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. And then another really, really big one is called SUP. So that's our Speak Up programs. So Speak Up is a three-step program to become a young consultant, and that's where you get your opinions heard in a greater level to voice out for more younger people. So from our YAGs, we could have all these topics come through, and then as a young consultant, Fabian or Olivia might reach out and go, hey, Lexi, you went to this YAG. Can you voice out the topics from these young people? So, yes, just get to do that, like, to the commissioner and all that sort of stuff. So people higher up, way higher up, which is great. So, yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's great. There's so much. I could go on, like, I could go on for hours about it.
Okay.
I've been with Create, I think, since I was 12. So really? 10 years this year. 10
nice.
Years this year.
Oh, it must be worthwhile doing if you stick around for 10 years.
Yes. Excellent. Yeah, definitely.
So it sounds like there's just lots of opportunities for young people in care to really have their voices be heard.
Yes.
And like to get their ideas out there. That's kind of what Create's all about.
Yeah, 100%. We do conferences every 2 years as well. So they're called VIA or Voices in Action. So this year it's actually based in LA per se. Based in LA, but everything's done all virtual. But 3 years ago it was in Melbourne, and we have people from literally all over the country. We actually had internationals as well. So we had people from New Zealand. We had people from Scotland. I think we had Chinese as well.
Wow.
So just to see what like different nationalities are like as well.
Yeah, wow.
See everyone's different perspectives, what can be taken from them, what we can learn from them, what they could learn from us, see the differences.
That's
so
fantastic.
There's so many opportunities that Create give young people.
Excellent. Well, I mean, like we said before, it must be worthwhile if you're sticking around for this long. What do you enjoy about doing this kind of thing?
So I love being a young consultant because I love being able to help others and being able to have my own opinion heard, as well as being able to share others' opinions that might not be eligible to, or they might be a bit too shy to. So, you know, always helping out others in that sense. Especially things that are meaningful to me, so things that have happened to myself or things that I know my friends have gone through as well, my friends being friends I've met through Create. There's also great people at Create. Fabian is amazing, and he has been there for years. Him and I have had a really, really good relationship from the get-go. There's Olivia as well, who's there. Amy, who's unfortunately just left, she had such a powerful impact on so many young people's thoughts there, and promoting them and encouraging them to voice their opinions as much as they can. So, yeah.
Great. Sounds like a fantastic team.
Yeah.
And that's just here in SA, right?
That's
like there's a national team as well?
There's a national team. There is some states have, like WA, it's really big. So they have, I think, two or three teams. Darwin has two teams as well. So, you know, depending on the distance of young people, I guess, where they're situated, you can have more offices as well. So SA is kind of small, so we get one, but our SA team make sure that other young people regional do get their chances too.
Yeah, wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
so much of the kind of work and thinking that I do in my role is often about trying to promote young people's voices as important and active and equal participants in whatever the project, whether it be kind of the research or practice with young people. It's so encouraging to hear when it actually happens.
Yeah, it's great. And another good thing about our SA team is even if you haven't been, like, you might duck off for a few months because you're really busy, like myself. And so, you know, every now and then I'll get a contact from them going, hey, how are you going? Like, just want to check in. Like, they'll always be checking in with you as well. So, you know, you never feel forgotten.
Fantastic. Wow, that's so good. Yeah, I feel like we could ask more about that.
Okay.
But, you know, if there's something more you want to say, go for it. But one of the things that we're really interested in is, and I hear one of the things that you're quite passionate about is in your work with Create, is the Make It 21 campaign. So that's a campaign that's going on at the moment that Create...
Continuously.
Yeah.
Every state is different in this topic, but it's just a continuous one that's being pushed and pushed. So
what is it about? What is Make It 21?
So most states have it that you are called a GOM child, so you're under the guardianship of the minister until you're 18. So GOM 18 is the nickname we're given. So what we're pushing for is to make that age up to 21 because it's not really right. thought about by many young people that it's not right that as soon as we turn 18, if a lot of us feel like we get cut off from that day.
Gotcha.
So, you know, day before your 18th birthday, checking up, you know, making sure that all the rules are followed and all that sort of stuff because you're still under the guardianship. And then the day after you turn 18, well, bye-bye.
Yeah, okay. So obviously 18 is the kind of legal age of adulthood, and yes. So there's some kind of logic associated with, you know, saying that that's the point at which people become independent.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's, you know, questionable, really, if we think about it.
Not really the case in some instances, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your experience of that transition of turning 18 and apparently becoming fully adult and independent?
So when I was 17, I was actually already living independently, but it was through a government program called Muggies. So what Muggies do is generally when you're 16, your social worker will sign them up with you because they think that you've got those potential independent skills to be able to live on your own to start you up to be... to start you up into that independent life at the age of 18.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing it at the age of 17, as mum and I had just a typical mother-daughter argument that couldn't be resolved at the time. So I ended up joining Muggies at 17. And then did that for a year. So what they do is they teach you all these skills such as like cooking and cleaning and your budgeting and all those sorts of things just to get you ready for that independence. So I was with them when I was 17, lived on my own for a year, and then about a month before I turned 18, it got to a point of, oh my God, you're almost 18 and we've got nowhere for you to go. Yeah. So that's when all the housing trust applications and starting up with RASA, which is Relationships Australia, that's a company that a lot of young people get pushed towards as an outside support for when after you're 18, because DCP is not there. Mm. So, you know, that's when you're almost 18 started to really get set up.
Wow.
So, you know, we get to 2 weeks and we're starting to stress because I haven't got a house, and then it's 1 week. And then eventually got to, we've been told by the government, you know, that until we find you somewhere, we can keep pushing this out, but we really, really need to find you somewhere.
Wow.
Like now.
Yeah.
So that was the situation. I ended up actually talking with one of my good mates at work. And he's like, I'm about to, you know, I'm looking for a housemate. And I turned around and went, well, I'm looking for a house at the moment. So what good luck is this?
Yes.
So I ended up turning around and going, hey, guys, obviously we can't find anywhere for me to go. So I've just found a place that I can move in with some friends. That's when it was turned around and my social worker literally went, the way it was described to me as well was, if you take this, you will no longer have our support.
Wow.
So I was like... So if I actually go out and do a good thing and use my independent skills and get my own private renting, I'm cut off.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's and then like I moved in. I did move in anyway. And then that was it. That was pretty much it. Never heard from really anyone again.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems quite counterintuitive, doesn't it? Once you kind of start showing a little bit of independence. And then we just go, well, you must be totally fine and you're off on your own.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's what happens to people who, you know, still live with their biological family.
No.
I don't think that generally that's kind of attitude.
You kind of hear of young people who are people who can live with their real family, biological family, and then it's like they've moved out and then, you know, things kind of dropped off a little bit. So it's like, oh, I'll move back home so I can save some more. We don't get that opportunity. Another thing to make it 21, like a huge thing that's broadcast is we're in the system or we're in care, and then we've all got some sort of trauma, or most of us do. Most of us will have some sort of trauma, some sort of underlying kind of thing that sits in the back of our minds. So, you know, some of us need that extra help. So my little sister is about to age out, and I don't think that she'd be capable when she's 18 to be cut off and left on her own. I think she'll need a bit of extended help. I know other young people through Create who have had, some have disabilities and again need that extended help. So that's lots of things that run through my mind, and that's why this is a really big thing for me, is specifically friends and my own family being put in this situation of 18 and bye-bye.
Yeah. Chop. Wow. I mean, it's crazy because, like you say, there's not that kind of attitude as a general expectation, right? Like that people would just be cut off and have to kind of figure it out all on your own, let alone if you are in a position where you clearly need some additional support. Mm-hmm. Like you would think that that would be something we could offer. The other thing that really blew me away from your story is you said that about a month out from the date you decided we better try and find you a house.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't expect to find myself a rental property in a month. Like if I went, I'd give myself longer than that. And I'm pretty sure social housing at the moment has something like a 10-year wait.
It's ridiculous at the moment. So you obviously have your different categories. Well, not obviously, but there are different categories. You have your Cat 1, your Cat 2, your Cat 5. And so I was classed as a Category 1 because I needed housing ASAP. But also, like, another thing to think, I think about is housing SA for a young person is pretty scary because you hear some pretty awful things that happen to some people in housing SA, in Housing Trust, and then, like, you know, you kick out dates and all that sort of stuff because, you know, you get it for a year and then it's like, what happens in a year? And, you know, I'm back at square one. Will I be put back there? Will I get to keep this house? Will I be struggling and scrounging around again? So there's so many things that just keep it, the ball just keeps rolling. It doesn't really ever stop.
Yeah, wow. So if we're thinking about make it 21, so mm-hmm. to shift towards 21, what would that 3 years, what difference do you think that would make? Why is that so important?
I think the 3 years would really help A, maturity levels, because even though we're 18, we're just learning about adulthood. So you start building it up from a young age, but you hit 18 and then you actually have everybody saying, you're an adult now, you're an adult now. So, you know, it's still that 3 years of being able to learn what being an actual adult and having those extra responsibilities is like. Mm. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That's really important. Thank you so much. I feel like this is a really complex issue. And you know, there's lots of parts to it that need some work and would help people. And moving this age to additional support at 21 makes a lot of sense to kind of address those. But if there was one thing that you would like people to kind of keep in mind as they walk away from this conversation and all this complexity, what would it be? What was the one thing you'd say? Just remember this.
If I had one thing to say to anybody that I would have this conversation with, it would be, where were you living at the age of 21? At the age of 18, what were you doing? You know, were you with family? Were you with friends? What were you doing? What sort of responsibilities did you have?
That's fantastic. That's a really good point. That'll stick with me for sure. Look, thank you again. I really appreciate your time. You've given us a great insight into what the actual real world effects of something simple like, you know, aging out of care is. And so this is an important outcome of social policy. So thank you so much for coming in and sharing.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
This episode was edited by Ryan Manhire, music by Anthem of Rain, sourced from the freemusicarchive.org. You can find me, Ben, on Twitter @LohmeyerBen. If you like the podcast, please like, share, comment, and do all the things.